movie is pretty progressive.
Are you jerking off to these, dude? Because they were just like, there was like naked chicks everywhere in these movies.
Well, the first one, yes. The first one is just like, hey, let's have a slumber party and take our tops off, pillow fight, and then we get murdered by a guy with a... What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
Hey, this is Smoochie.
I'm sick of the coronavirus. I think we should switch to... This is going to be a Corona Light podcast, I hope. I don't want to talk about it no more.
I feel like it's invading every aspect of our lives, so it's going to be difficult not to talk about. I mean, we should probably just get it out of the way right now. So I am not working right now. I'm still getting paid, which is nice, but I will have the next 3 weeks off, and everything outside is pretty much closed, so... Really not a whole lot to do except stay home, watch movies, and play video games.
It's so true, these memes about, like, everybody else and then us, right, as gamers. Yeah. Like, this is our dream come true. And not the death part, but the stay home and play part.
Yeah. And as for Bobby, off of work, but a guaranteed almost, well, a promise guarantee with his job. I am completely unemployed. So I'm an industry worker in the state of California. And I work three different jobs. And simultaneously, about an hour ago, they announced all restaurants, all bars to be closed, some indefinitely. And who knows if any position is guaranteed for me when the coronavirus epidemic is, and all this hysteria is passed up. So I'm a little bit concerned overall and in general for not just myself, but everyone else. I am a full-on sympathizer for anyone affected on any scale by the coronavirus.
There might be work for you, too, Chi. I mean, Asian nanny?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then on the plus side, the silver lining is that maybe finally I'll get a stream schedule together out of this. So there you go.
So long as you can afford internet.
Yeah. Catch me on Twitch, guys. Watch it all unfold.
Yeah. Darth Duck, thank you for the subscription.
Thanks, homie. Oh, and thanks for JP Diddy. He did it while I was streaming. Bobby, did you fix the name of the stream?
Yes, I did.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So we wanted to, speaking of the coronavirus, there's been a lot of talk about folding at home. Now, this is something I've been aware of for a long time, long, long time. It's been around forever. And it's getting a lot of publicity right now because of the coronavirus. So Folding at Home is a program you run on your computer, and it kind of donates your computer's resources, processing power to, what is it, like universities that are trying to crack codes of diseases, you know, solve these big problems that need a lot of computational power. And this thing has been around forever, but they're currently using it to try to find a cure, a solution for the coronavirus. So, you know, if you were never aware of this, now's a great time to check that out.
I was always confused by this because I knew about it for years as well. But I thought you had to physically, like, sit there and do something. I don't know.
No.
But you're just, you're slaving away your computer, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just let it run. And then whenever your computer is idle and you're not using it, then... It uses your computer.
There's really no downside to this, except for
it's all for a good cause.
Maybe a backdoor that people, hackers can get in. I don't know. Probably not.
I don't think there's ever really been, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't want to say there isn't, but it's definitely legit, but I don't know if it's a security issue.
So shout out to Zap, who put a DLG team together on this. Do you have... Where we can get that, Bobby?
It's on the Discord. If you go to the announcements in the Discord, it's right there.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it uses electricity. So, I mean, I guess you are kind of paying for it a little bit. But, yeah, it's a good cause, folks.
Yeah. Speaking of causes, what's the update on WASD?
JP Diddy from... And I really should bring up his company a lot more. He has JD Constriction. He sells super sweet pythons. They are called how do you call it? I forget. It's a word that like I only learned when I met him. But it basically they have no pigment. Well, they have black and white, and they look like I don't know. what do you call it? Shock troopers or something. I don't know.
Stormtroopers?
Stormtroopers, yeah. They look fucking sweet. Really cool snakes. He does this as a side business. JDConstriction.com. Anyway, he came out with a really cool snake. He donated that snake sale to the WASD, and that's basically what's been holding us up is money. And he sold that snake for $1,000, and he sent us $1,000.
Wow!
And that's almost exactly the dollar amount that we needed to file and get everything going.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, JD, for your charity and your generosity. What, if we can remind the listeners or maybe some new listeners what WASD is and the goal behind it?
So WASD is Warriors Against Suicide and Depression. A crazy amount of vets kill themselves. That's the worst part of it, but also living with depression. What we try to do at WASD, and we've done it twice, is build a computer, a high functioning gaming computer that they could also do whatever they, whatever kind of business they could want to get into. And we kind of customize it for them and give it to them free of charge and welcome them to the WASD community and try to build up their life to, you know, give them focus and meaning and something to have them have a group to hang out with, you know what I mean? And that will be integrated as well with the DLG community. So it's almost like a sister community or something like that. We've done it twice. It's gone off pretty well. And the reason we need $1,000 is to get our 501c3 so that we are a real boy and a real company that people can donate and get tax write-offs to. So we've done that. Don't let the $1,000 snake price scare you off. He's got, you know, cheap snakes too. I think the throwaways are like $10 or something like that. I don't know if he sells those or just donates them or whatever. But it goes all the way up to like $45,000 for like
like the Bentley of snakes.
Yeah. Well, what's so interesting about, and this is the part that I find fascinating, is when you're basically breeding snakes over and over and over and you're waiting for a mutation that looks cool, and then when you have that mutation, you're the only person on earth that has that snake. Like, if you have a super cool snake, you basically cause, you know, you're breeding Pokemon trying to get that rare Pokemon to come out, and that's what he does. Fucking awesome. Yeah. And he's at I think over the last 4 years he's had two global firsts, and you know those are the ones that are high dollar amount.
Wow, very, so that's cool. Very impressive. That's super fun to know how he can afford all of his silk robes now.
Yeah, give him the DL gaming bump, guys.
That's awesome.
All right,
that's just painted like an image of him in his silk robes in a room full of snakes. Only to be seen, like, if you were at DLG Con 2019, you would know exactly what image, and hopefully I instill that image into your head.
Snakes
now.
And silk do go together.
Oh, yeah, I imagine so. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's that time again. Time to play a little audio game here. I forgot last week, we've already reached one of our goals on Patreon. So last week, the prize was worth $10. This week, it's worth $20. So let's get SOCOM on the line here. SOCOM, are you there?
Hey, what's going on, boss?
Hey, how you doing, man? Welcome to the show.
Hi, SOCOM. Welcome to a live recording.
What's going on?
If you don't know SOCOM, come to our Discord and go into any voice channel, and he'll be there magically, and he'll just hang out and not speak and just listen and listen for hours and hours and hours.
What I do.
You do you, man.
No, I love SOCOM for that reason, because when on the rare accounts that I am in the DLG Discord, when he's there, he always has something very insightful to add to the conversation, or even when he's not talking, but when he is talking, it's relevant, and it's not annoying to have to listen to, because sometimes...
Yeah, he knows his shit.
Yeah.
But does he know this shit? You ready?
Oh, shit. I know.
All right. So, you probably know how the game works. We're going to play some audio clips for you. You're going to tell us what game they're from, and then we'll have the real deal game where we play the mystery sound and you can try and tell us what game and what that sound is. Not just the game, what the sound is. But first, Emilio, did you have something you want to jump in with?
I was going to say, so since they unlocked the hint part of it, do we also give the hint every week? Or how does that work? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe he won't need it. We'll figure it out. Maybe we'll come to that bridge when we cross to it. Come to it.
All right, so I'm going to start with a song here. This is music from a video game's soundtrack. And let's see if you can tell us what game this is from.
All right, let's do it.
Let it play for a little bit here.
Great music. I wouldn't know this.
I think this one's a little difficult here.
It is.
Yeah, slightly. Would this be a game that I would have played?
I'll give you a hint. If you did, it was a while ago. Maybe about 7 or 8 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. I have no idea that's from.
That's a tough one, man.
Yeah, well, it's definitely got that 80s sound to it. That
How about if I give you Twin Stick Shooter? Is it a Twin Stick Shooter?
I guess you could call it that.
Yeah. It might throw you off.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, that one was Hotline Miami.
Yeah, never played it.
Never, not even the sequel? Dang. Oh, well.
Sorry.
That's at least a good listen one. To the soundtrack. That was a really cool
That was a good song.
Yeah, that
song. Sorry, Cynthia. I liked it.
That soundtrack by Jasper Byrne. Okay. Now, the next one's going to be a sound effect. I'm going to make this one a little easier for you here.
Yep, I know what that is. That's from World of Warcraft.
Yep, all right.
Okay, but what is it?
Oh, that's, what do they call those things?
He knows the game. You got it right. You got the game. That's all we're asking for, but you forgot.
It's that little water creature in the third zone of World of Warcraft, where all the dwarves are. Can't think of the name of it, though.
Dwarves?
Where all the dwarves live, is what he's saying.
Yeah, where the dwarves live, on the other side of the mountain. You got to fly over to the dwarf area, and then that's where you run into them.
Well, they're all over the place.
I never realized how pissed off they are.
That's their aggro sound.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the Murlocs.
Murlocs, yes, not Merfolk, sorry.
Yeah.
You were close, man.
Yeah, pretty close.
My guess was kobolds. JK.
Oh.
No.
That'd be a good sound effect to play, though. The what? Candle.
You know, take candle?
Yeah. Oh, that would have been a good one. Now we ruined it.
I don't think they say it, though. They just do those weird aggro noises.
And then they say
it. Oh, the speech bubble comes up.
Yeah, the speech bubble
comes
up. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
0-2. Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
You got that one, right? All right. Okay. But this is the one that really matters.
Can we get some sound effects, Bobby? Jeez, we need one of each now.
Yeah.
Okay, and that one.
That was from Sonic the Hedgehog, by the way.
That is Sonic the Hedgehog. Okay, so can you tell us not just what game this is from, but what specifically this sound is?
Oh.
One more time, please.
It's a tough one.
Wow, that is a tough one. What are the hints that we've been gone through so far?
Zero hints.
Really? What did he guess last time? It's Street Fighter. It is not from Street Fighter.
Right. It's not for Street Fighter. That's your only hint. No. Should we give him a hint?
Not just yet.
All right.
This is big money we're talking about here. We're up to $20.
Oh, man.
It is a tough one. Any guess, anything you want to throw out there to maybe help anyone who comes next?
Where's your mind going?
First thing that came to my mind when I heard it, which is what I'm going to go for, my gut feeling, was the sound of when you get hit or get killed in the game Contra.
No, that is incorrect. I will say this: every sound that we're going to play is a PC game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, do you want to guess again? Maybe you didn't know that stipulation.
I did not know that.
I'll give you that as well.
consoles. All these sound bites are going to come from PC games. Yep. So,
Chi, do you have an idea?
I have a couple guesses, but I can't guess. I know the game is a little dated.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it was a good effort, though. You got one question right. The prize pool goes up to $30 next week. So maybe some lucky winner will win it then. But SOCOM, thanks for being on the show, man. And thanks for always hanging around the Discord, making that an active place.
Try my best.
Thanks, yeah. Homie. Any comments you want to throw out there for the listeners of DLG?
Yeah, I'm glad you guys are hanging in there and you guys are being strong during this giant perfuckle that is the COVID-19 virus. Just remember to wash your hands and don't pick your nose and stick in other people's nose.
He's looking at you, by the way, Emilio.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot, SnowCom. We'll see you later.
Yep. Later.
Well, I'm here to announce this right now. If I don't have to go to work tomorrow, we're going to podcast every single day this week. No, I'm kidding.
We're at least going to do some co-streams. I'm honestly thinking on the drive here, I was thinking of throwing a game night for myself and all of my friends, everyone that's more or less, you know, with all this extra free time and maybe not money, we might as well come together. You know, it's one of those rare hard times where, you know, normally people anticipate coming together and gathering to get through the hard times. And this one, it's almost the exact opposite.
Yeah.
It's like, don't even breathe in my direction kind of ordeal. So it's such a weird, everything is awful about everything that's going on, but then also it's just a very weird social epidemic too.
Yeah. Just want to let people know. So if you want to be a call-in guest on the show, you can do that. Join our Discord 15 minutes before the show starts and just be in the hangout. Sniper will select somebody at random. Of course, patrons get priority. So if you're one of our $5 and up patrons, then you'll get selected first. But anybody can call in. And thank you, Red Rum, for the 1,000 bits and It Low Light for the subscription.
Thank you so much.
Woohoo! All right. Let's talk about some games on the radar. So games that have come to our attention recently. The big one. Ooh, another 1,000 bits coming in from Woo-hoo! Red Rum. Thank you.
Thank you, Red Rum.
So the first game that I was very excited to hear about was Command & Conquer, the Remastered Collection. Now, it looks like they've got a fantastic video on their Steam page and, you know, on their website explaining everything that's in this remastered collection here. And it looks like they did it right. I have not personally played it. I know there's a few people on Discord that have been playing it. And from what I hear, the general response is positive. It looks like it's a much better remaster than Warcraft 3. But this is a remaster of just Command & Conquer and Red Alert. Does not include Red Alert 2, which I feel like was the biggest Command & Conquer game.
They're probably testing out, like, they probably did this one to see how it'll do, and then do the two.
I mean, there's a lot of Command & Conquer games. We by no means need to remaster a lot of them, but I know the first one and Red Alert, these two games were very, very big for me back in the day. But the remake, they look like they've done a fantastic job here. So they worked pretty much hand in hand with the community, just getting feedback as they produced it to see what's important. Because that's tough with a remake or a remaster. If you change something and people don't like it, they will turn on you. You know, there's a very fine line you have to walk with the remake. But they've remastered it. They've upscaled it to 4K, so it's graphically a lot better. You can actually switch between the legacy and the remastered graphics in real time in the game, which is fantastic. They do this with a lot of the remakes for the point-and-click adventures back in the 90s, and it's so nice to be able to do that.
I've seen the side-by-side. I could appreciate it a lot more. I was seeing the remastered. I'm like, ooh, is that the remastered?
Oh, originally? Yeah, because you can still buy the original games on EA's Origin. And I played them on there. And you go back and play them and you're like, oh my God, I do not remember it looking this bad. But you were playing it on like an 800 by 600 monitor or something. But yeah, if you see the side by side, it looks way better. The cutscenes look a lot better. They've even remastered the voices. They've redone the UI. They've made so many improvements. They put in like behind the scenes features in it. They've included like the special ops missions from the console version. Like, they just did such a fantastic job. And this game is only $20, I believe. Yeah, $20 for the remaster. I think that's absolutely great. And the developer, they put as Petroglyph, same guys from that Conan game that I played.
Are you going to pick it up, Bobby?
I probably will. I'm going through an RPG phase right now, but I might pick this up. I will at some point absolutely get this, because Command & Conquer was just so big for me. Like, these cutscenes just bring back so many memories.
I want to say...
Brotherhood of Nod.
One of them went on PlayStation. I feel like I played one on PlayStation, but...
It seems so weird to play a game like this on console.
Yeah, not a lot of real-time strategy went on consoles.
Yeah. All right, so yeah, Command & Conquer Remastered Collection. It's out on Steam, although I think it's actually through EA. It says third-party, requires third-party account, EA account. So, guess it's on both. The next one up is called The Test. Now, Days on our Discord server was raving about this game. This game's $2.
Yeah.
Very cheap. And it's a weird game. Like, it's not even really a game. Here's the description. You will answer a series of questions that will reveal truths from deep within. These questions may make you uncomfortable, but with great knowledge comes great sacrifice. Can you make it all the way through the test? And if you do, are you sure you want the answers you seek?
I'm excited that you put this out there, Days, because I am one of those people, when you meet them, they're always asking what your personality type is. And if you don't know, then I'm the type that will go stop everything, take this 12-minute questionnaire, and then get back to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's because... one of those. It says this is not a personality test, but it is, basically.
Oh,
it kind of seems like it is. The reviews
I took it.
Great, overwhelmingly positive.
Really? Did it come with like a profile or something of the sort?
I took the test.
So what? How was the experience?
Well, no. Days likes to administer the test. So she'll read it to you in real time or whatever as she's playing it. So she streamed it and I watched while she streamed, but I answered the questions. So anyway, it's not really like this is what you are. It's more like I don't know. It wasn't fortune telling or anything. It was saying, it had a few things about...
I almost feel like it's better to leave that unspoken. I think the mystery is the big appeal here for me. Like, I kind of want to take this on my own and just have a fresh experience.
So it gives you a word that will have a lot of meaning coming up. Mine was greed for whatever.
What did it have to say?
It was half right on the personality stuff that it's guessed on me, I would say.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was way off on one half, and then the other half it was like...
Watch me take the test, and then like my magic word is the fucking penis sign, 8 equal sign giant D.
She wants to... Tilda. Yeah, she wants to administer the test to all of us. So let's see how it goes.
Well, this game is only $2.
I was. It's kind of creepy because there's only a little bit of light, and that's on the chick that's... the witch that's giving it to you the entire time.
Oh, is that her hat or is that her face?
Exactly. So it's her hat.
Oh, the hat.
Was a big mustache.
Yeah, exactly.
So the witch is actually pretty cute. And she's wearing a hat that is has one of those crow.
Yeah, it's like a plague doctor.
A plague doctor hat. Yeah. Plague doctor hat. Yeah.
I thought a jump scare was coming the whole time, but that's not the situation.
Okay.
A lot of weird questions in there, though.
So is it more like a psychological thriller element to it?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Recycled, thank you for the 1,000 bits, man.
Damn. Really got those,
yeah, thank you, guys.
Coming in. Very nice.
Money party, indeed.
Days' ears must have been itching or something like that. So she dropped in as soon as we were talking about the test. Yep.
All right, the last game that caught my attention this week is called The Procession to Calvary. Notice I said Calvary and used it correctly. Along with Rogue, this is the other word, I guess, that isn't misspelled often, but mispronounced often. So Cavalry is the guys that come riding in on the horses. Calvary is the mountain that Jesus was crucified on.
Oh, so...
I didn't even know that was two different things.
Yeah, no,
Calvary,
nobody does. Yeah.
No one needs to ever really reference Calvary.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
it's never there's no come up. Time I'm gonna.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I grew up in a church, so there was a lot of.
Well, same here. But then I wasn't talking about the actual hill that Jesus was whipped up.
Yeah, we sang a lot of old hymns. It was a Southern Baptist church.
Okay.
It was a lot of Calvary.
Okay.
But yeah, people always say Calvary when what they should be saying is cavalry.
You're right. I do that.
Yeah, it's a common mistake. So I found out about this game on Twitter, actually. Again, I follow a lot of these guys that make point-and-click adventure games, and they've got such an awesome community, and they're always plugging each other's games. And this guy has constantly been posting just his progress with this game. And it's a Monty Python point-and-click adventure type game with a lot of comedy. It's got like Renaissance paintings, but there's motion to it or movement in kind of a really weird...
Almost like South Park.
Yeah, kind of like South Park, but the movements are just like Monty Python.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They move around like little...
Gee, have you never seen a Monty Python movie?
No, only glimpses.
Wow.
But that was live action, wasn't it?
It was.
But yeah, but then they break into
away
this,
to things
yeah,
that look
and
like
now
this.
For something completely different.
Oh, okay,
different.
So that's why I don't...
They have a little interlude.
Okay.
I don't think you like him, Chi. I think a lot of people who never really watched him when they were younger,
it's
him
so
now.
Dated now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, if there's good humor in it, I will appreciate it. Because you know what I saw not too long ago that made me laugh nonstop? What was it? The Naked Gun 2?
Oh, yeah.
Or something
like
that?
If you like that, you might like...
Yeah.
Really? Naked Gun 2? Okay.
Yeah. It was so stupid.
Is that the one with OJ?
I couldn't stop laughing. I loved it.
Is that the one with OJ when he gets damaged for like 5 minutes?
I don't know if OJ is out in that one. It's the one where he spanks the president.
I don't remember.
Or
that.
Not even the.
But those are funny movies.
Somebody.
I don't know. I watch a lot of those old comedies, and they just like totally strike out. I watched Hot Shots recently with Charlie Sheen.
No,
I was like, really, this was funny, and I thought it was funny. Like when I was a kid, I was like, "Dude, this is hilarious." Mm-hmm. I watched it now. I'm like, "Oh my god!"
I wonder if we went back and watched The Mask.
The Mask. That's something I need to do. Yeah.
You watch
it? I mean, Jim Carrey. I love Jim Carrey, though.
Yeah.
But anyway, The Procession to Calvary. So this game's coming out any day now, very soon here. No price point. What I found out, though, is this guy, Joe Richardson, who made this game, he made another game very similar to this called The Last Four Things or Four Last Things. And that is on Steam for $7 or $8. So I'll probably pick that up and play through that, and then check this one out when it comes out. But it looks good.
Yeah.
I've always
liked that art style.
Yeah, it's a good look. And I haven't seen that before, so.
No. Well, Rock of Ages uses it.
Oh, that's true. Rock of Ages, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it worked very well. But you just don't see it a lot, so
no,
I guess that's why it seems unique.
No.
All right. Let's talk about some games we have been playing. So Call of Duty Warzone. Big hit this week.
Yeah, huge hit. I got to play it myself. I was definitely in a Battle Royale mood, so I'm glad the timing of Warzone dropped when it did. Call of Duty Warzone is completely free to play. You don't have to own Call of Duty Modern Warfare, but I think the install or the download might be smaller if you already do. And you can play it on PC, you can play it on console. You just have to have at least 100 megabytes of storage space, I believe. And with
gigabytes, you mean?
Is it gigabytes?
I would imagine.
Definitely not megabytes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, gigabytes. Sorry. It's a massive fucking game.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, and there is cross-platform play, just like I think with Modern Warfare. And it's a battle royale that's three-man squads. It's interesting because in this battle royale, the gameplay is really smooth. It is definitely a Modern Warfare the most recent Modern Warfare in terms of gameplay. And then the Battle Royale has definitely transformed since Blackout, and I played a little bit of Blackout. I love the graphics. The map is pretty... Oh, shit!
That scared me,
yeah. The graphics
not
are...
Not that much.
The graphics are pretty smooth considering the large map and the 150 people. So it's 150 people, and you drop from, of course, the airplane.
Three-man squads only. Okay.
The interesting thing is you start off with a pistol, so there's no, you know, scrambling around, racing for that first item. So
I like that.
Yeah, so you basically have a fighting chance. But one annoying thing, too, is that when you're parachuting, you can actually shoot people in the air
with that gun. Parachuters?
Yeah, other parachuters.
Damn.
And then on top of that, probably the biggest difference with this battle royale is the fact that when you die, you get sent to the, in their accent, or is it an English accent? It's the gulag, but I just call it the gulag,
right,
which is the prison. And in the prison, you are in a queue to do a 1v1. And if you win this 1v1 with some pretty standard weaponry, like a pistol or a shotgun, you get redeployed and you get dropped down back into the battlefield.
That's cool.
And you could, I think they drop you in close enough to where you can land close to a squad mate or virtually right on top of where you died. I played this game virtually for a whole day, maybe made it to level 18, level 20. And, it was fun. I enjoyed myself. I definitely see myself playing more of it. The weapons are a lot of fun to learn. You don't have to deal with in-game inventory as much. In fact, I don't think there even is in-game inventory. You can equip two guns of any type at a time. And then there's different levels of the guns. And you pick up armor plates and you can replenish your shields. And then you do pick up... I don't think you have heals in this game because all you have are the armor plates. And then you drop money. Money is important because... when your character gets killed off, you have to go to a bio, basically a shop or one of those crates that you spend money in. And you can redeploy your dead teammates or purchase items and loadouts and kill streaks. So, and the biggest thing too is the since you don't have an inventory, you basically have to go after the loadout crates that get dropped from the sky. More or less like the infamous PUBG crates that come from the sky. Because once you have enough experience and build up your loadouts, you can get your ideal battleground loadout each and every time with that. But I am such a scrub with Modern Warfare. I barely know how to use the weapons or anything else of that sort. So the loadout crate would drop and I would rarely pursue it. Because I knew, because I don't really know anything about the weapons or the kill streaks and how effective they are.
But are there also guns just laying on the ground?
Like oh yeah, PUBG? Totally everywhere. Okay. And when you kill, and when people die, all their shit just like explodes, kind of like in Fortnite.
Oh okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah. No, this looks great. I mean, I don't know
for
why.
Free. Where are they getting them? Where are they making their money, Chi?
Well, they have a battle pass.
Yeah,
a
battle pass.
So kind of like. They went with the Apex mod.
Yeah, just like Apex, it looks like.
Do you like it more or less than Apex right now, can you say?
It's definitely not Apex. When people, while I was streaming this, people were asking, how do you like Warzone? Or how does this compare to Apex? I'm like, this isn't Apex. The dynamic is completely different. You could slide a little bit. I feel like with Apex, it's because of the abilities, it's a lot different
about mobility, right?
And
a lot more mobility.
Like this one here, it's a fucking shit show. I thought I was doing really well one game, and then somebody redeployed right on top of my fucking head and killed me. And I was like, really, dude? Like, I have to look up, I have to watch my fucking So I was like, well, that fucking sucks, you know? So it's like, and the fact that I haven't really won any chicken dinners either, which is rare, I know it sounds really conceited. In a gamer conceded, but it's like I generally play battle royales and find myself.
You get a chicken dinner.
Quick. Winning like one out of four games at least, and or around that rate.
It's because you're going up against a lot of Call of Duty people.
Players. Yeah. So, and I'm very new to it. Maybe the more I play, the more I'll understand and the better impression. But those are the major differences that I notice in terms of this battle royale and most other battle royales that we've experienced.
Cool. I like it.
Does it launch out of Battle.net? How do you launch this game?
Oh, talk about vehicles. Oh, sorry. Yeah, there's vehicles in this game. They're very loud. Helicopters are... I could never survive getting to the helicopter. I always get shot before I make it to it. It's pretty scarce, but you get to ping helicopters and drop on them and then use them.
You fly the helicopter and shoot the guns?
I think so. I don't know. Because I've never flown the helicopter other than maybe in warm up, but it's pretty good. And then what was your question, Bobby?
I was asking, does this launch through BattleNet? But it looks like
it is.
Days and
yeah,
shit.
It is. Yes, it is BattleNet, because here's the thing: I downloaded GeForce Now, and I've signed up for the Founders edition of it, which is 90 days free, and then $4.99 per month after that. And what it does, it's unlimited GeForce Now experience. And what's cool about GeForce Now is a lot of the games, the bigger titles, are pre-installed, and so there's no download time or wait time to play the games. Mm-hmm. It gave me an option to just sign into my Steam library, so my entire Steam library was accessible, I believe.
So did you play... You didn't play this through that.
No, then. I tried.
Okay.
But since it's through Blizzard, unfortunately, I was not able to
Because they aren't
use
doing
GeForce
any of their
now.
Games.
Mm-hmm. So, but it's cool because I tested out Divinity 2 on it, and it played very smoothly on GeForce Now. Cool. Again, if you guys haven't checked it out and see yourselves needing to check it out, there's a free edition, and then there's also a Founders edition that's 90 days for free. It's pretty cool.
I actually tried out the free edition. And I really wanted to test it out. So I did it from kind of a really bad wireless network, not a great connection. And I tried to install Deep Rock Galactic, would not install.
Really?
Yeah. Then I tried out another game. I can't remember which one, but it was like a Stardew Valley type game, like not very graphically intensive. That one worked just fine, although there was a lot of lag because of my... And that was... pretty much because of my Wi-Fi connection.
Oh, okay.
I really recommend that you use a wired connection. But even this particular Wi-Fi connection was just not very fast to begin with. So I'm not surprised there was a little bit of lag, a little bit of stuttering.
Yeah.
But the interface, I thought it was really weird that it full screens and you can't get it out of full screen at all. Like it really just takes over your monitor.
Oh, I didn't notice or realize that I was on my laptop, also on Wi-Fi.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't play more than maybe 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I don't actually have a full-on experience with it. I was just really trying to play Warzone, but did not get that opportunity to do so with it. So,
but it's weird that it just puts you right into basically a virtual machine. So you see your Steam profile come up and you can browse around it just like you normally would. You see your library and you can install games. And one thing that I really wish they'd do, Microsoft has this problem as well. They don't just give you a list of the games that are available. They have the store and there's like, here's the featured games. And here's another section of games. And then they kind of like have a discovery mode where you can, or you can search for the games that you want, but there's nothing that's just like, just give me a list of all the games that you support, you know?
Yeah. They kind of have that search and browse feature before it loads up the virtual desktop, like on the GeForce
manager the
itself.
Yeah. The app.
But then I like that it's almost like a Steam Link. I just used it like a Steam Link, so I can't really... you're right. Like getting a better impression of what games they have pre-installed would be great.
Yeah, it would be nice. And I know we talked last week, like Emilio was wondering, Curse of the Dead Gods, you know, that game's so new, it's probably not going to be on there. It is on there and it's one of their featured games. It's like the very first one listed on there. So yeah, they do have a lot of new games. It's just really any Blizzard ones, any super old titles. I could not find Star Wars Rebellion on there. So no grand strategy games from the 90s, unfortunately. But they do have, I mean, Deep Rock Galactic was on there.
Yeah, but you have 8,000 games in your Steam library that you could potentially scratch the surface on.
Yeah.
I honestly almost feel like I need to farm trading cards again because my friends list is at maximum capacity. I honestly can't think of deleting anyone else anymore.
I still got a copy of Idolmaster that works. The new ones don't. So.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'll send you that through Google Drive.
What happened with GeForce Now? Did you guys cover it?
So she bought it.
Cool.
Tested it out. Went well for her. I tried the free version. Pretty good.
Yeah.
But they limit you to an hour, though, so that's kind of weird.
I'm very close to buying it as well.
It's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
As long as you got a good connection.
Yeah. Does anybody know if you can stream it to a Switch? Probably not, right?
No. They show you right on the site. It's like an Android OS. I don't think they support iOS yet. A PC, a Mac, and an NVIDIA Shield.
Okay, so if I did it on my phone, how can I get it from my phone to my TV? Or
like a Chromecast, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll work it out.
You just need to get Stadia. All right. You know, real quick, I just want to plug this. I meant to do it at the top of the show. I did it on my Twitter. I'm going to do it here. I also did it on Discord. So I'm going to try to log every movie that I watched this year, every single one of them. And I'm going to rate it and write a one-sentence review. And that's because I found out about this site called Letterboxd. That's Letterboxd without the last E. I don't know why they did that. But if you go to letterboxd.com, Robert Digital, I think, is my username there. So this site is great because I was looking for, like, where's a site where I can just create a watch list? I'm tired of bookmarking things. I don't like how IMDb does it.
I love it.
And they've got a great, so, like, I can just.
Looks like Steam.
Yeah, it looks a lot like Steam. It's a social networking site, but for movies. So, like, I made my watch list. Great. I can check them off here. And then also I can make, like, my own personal list. So, like, I got my favorite horror movies. Mm-hmm. Cool. But the really cool thing is, like, so as I watch movies, I log them and then I rate them. And then I'll do, like, a little write-up for it, you know. So, like, on this date, what was it? On March 8th, I watched For Your Eyes Only. Gave it 3 stars. Wrote a little review there. So, I mean, it's a great way. I'm following Sniper on here. I think he's following me too.
Thank you, Discreet, for the five gift subs.
Oh, shit.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Five gift subs. Very cool.
Oh, yeah, my dude. Sorry to interrupt, Bobby, to say thank you. That's huge. Thank you.
Awesome.
But, Bobby, this is awesome. I don't think I would set up my own profile, but mm-hmm. I would love to stalk and or lurk other people's profiles because my favorite movies are strictly the ones that were recommended mm-hmm. to me. The people that I trust and their taste, I would check out. I would definitely love to see their letterbox.
I wish a lot of movie critics that I follow had an account here that I could kind of keep
track of. It would probably help their career as well a little bit. What'd you think of Dr. Sleep? Would you give that? Because Sam really liked it.
3.5 stars.
Out of 4 or 5?
5 stars.
Gotcha.
What's your highest? Can we rank your highest rating films?
I've only given 2 movies 5 stars. The lowest rating is 0.5 star.
Well,
let's take a look, Bobby.
Right,
let me go to my diary here.
We got to look at your diary.
Because the diary listed chronologically. So, like, the last movie I watched was yesterday, Slumber Party Massacre 2.
Why?
I don't know. Let's go
2.5 stars?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, okay, Slumber Party Massacre 1 only got 1.5 stars. Oh, the second one was a lot better. I mean, for an 80s movie, it was pretty progressive.
Are you jerking off to these, dude? Because they were just, like, there was, like, naked chicks everywhere in these movies.
Well, the first one, yes. The first one is just like, hey, let's have a slumber party and take our tops off, pillow fight, and then we get murdered by a guy with a drill. And it's pretty bad.
A drill?
Yeah, well, let me pull up my review here. Slumber Party Massacre 1, vapid and vacuous, even for an 80s slasher flick. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on that. But the 5-star ones, let's see.
You could probably sort them by rating, dude.
Yeah. Go click on the rating.
Yeah.
No.
Oh wait, no.
Sort by. Here we go. Sort by average rating, highest first. Nope, this can't be right. Okay, so Uncut Gems 5 stars, Knives Out 5 stars.
I just started Knives Out.
Only two movies night. I gave 5 stars.
They're both Knives Out this year.
That's still in theaters, isn't it?
If they were open.
Oh, yeah.
Cats was the lowest rated one with 0.5 star. That movie is as bad as everybody said it was. Yeah.
Oh, both your movies are from this year, dude. You're such a
There's a lot of 4.5 stars.
Have you seen Parasite yet?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
What would you rate it?
I haven't put it on here because I can't remember the date that I watched it. Some of these were easy because I have the stub and AMC stubs. Like, I can look up when I watched it.
I feel like that's such a minuscule detail about, I mean, hurdle.
Maybe I'll try to figure out. I'll do some math and see if I can figure out. But the reason that I like this is because I can actually just go through, like, my recently watched. Like, this is what I've been watching. Like, Slumber Party Master 2, Sweet Smell of Success, Color Out of Space, For Your Eyes Only. Like, these are the last movies that I've watched. Mm-hmm.
Bobby is smiling right now. He never smiles.
Look, dude, pretty. February 14th, I watched three. Oh, no, that's not right. I watched this on the 15th.
Oh, no.
It's all out of
order. Oh, my goodness.
Ruined. Completely ruined.
So you can find this new thing at Robert Digital 2! With the appropriate dates.
Obviously, the watch date is really important because it's almost like you got to know what version of, like, Robert that, you know,
I am,
like, was able to leave that critique because, like, V3.15 0.20 Robert might have a different opinion.
Right, right.
A movie from, you know, V02.07.
Gotcha.
0.19 Robert. So.
Yeah. I'm glad that you gave
all of these variables.
I think your 3.5 stars on Starship Troopers is apt. I like that. That's a good, I like it.
Yeah. 3.5 stars is like my, I don't know, because there's movies
it's
that
your 87
I,
or your 82.
Yeah, it's my 82. Like, there's a lot of movies that, like, I know are bad, mm-hmm. but I like them more than I right. should. So mm-hmm. I kind of give them that extra little bump. But I know, like, yeah. this is not a good movie.
I did read a movie detail. Do you ever go to movie details on no. Reddit?
On Reddit, yes. Yeah. Yeah, I've been there.
The co-ed shower scene.
Mm-hmm.
They agreed to it only if the director was naked, and so he got naked for that scene.
Really?
Yeah.
Paul Verhoeven. I did not recognize him in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I'd be naked all the time. My last name is Verhoeven, dude.
he's had quite the career. Yeah. So,
Bobby,
yeah,
when
that's
do you
that.
Get patched for empathy, and then what movies are you going to start watching after that?
I watch a lot of, read my reviews, Jay. I watch a lot. I can't watch superhero movies. Like, I'm not, I see action. It's like a 180 now. Like, I see action now and I immediately like pull out my phone and start just flipping through it. Just like instinctively, like I get so bored with action, but then I see like two adults talking to each other really intensely. And I'm like, ooh, what's happening? This is good.
See, I'm not into action films per se. Like, I'm not into John Wick or whatever, but I watched, the big one that's on Netflix, the number one thing on Netflix right now, with Marky Mark or Mark Wahlberg.
Ooh, he's got a new action movie out?
Yeah, and it's on Netflix. It was straight to Netflix. And anyway, it's good. It's not great, but it's like, I was definitely entertained for 2 hours. For sure.
Well, that's usually what Netflix is going for.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get back to games here. So I did, last week I said I was going to play some Star Wars Galactic Battlegrounds, and I followed through. I totally did. So now you have to hear about it. Sorry. Mm. This is a game that came
Can't
out about
wait.
20 years ago, and I kind of wrote it off thinking, this is just an Age of Empires clone. It was made by the same company that made Age of Empires 2, 3 Mythology, Ensemble Studios, who had like a deal with Microsoft back then. So it was kind of a clone. Like, I played like 20 minutes of it back in the day. I was like, nope, no thanks. But this time I wanted to give it an honest try and see if it actually was just a clone or if there was something else to it. And they're actually, as close as it is to Age of Empires, there are some key differences here that that stood out. Number one, there's air units. So that's something new. Like Warcraft 3 had that. You have to have certain units to be able to shoot at these air units and destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the game just feels like it goes a lot faster. I remember spending 4+ hours in an Age of Empires 2 game, multiplayer online.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I don't know. I played one game with Sniper and then unfortunately we crashed.
Skip the cutscenes. I want to see the actual gameplay.
It's not much. Go back to the cutscenes.
Yeah.
Quick.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's yeah, they're a
it looks
rough.
A lot like Age of Empires.
Yeah.
One.
It's,
I swear, Bobby's going to be the only, like, 2030 robot with a floppy disk drive still. you need all of this? You need, like, I honestly...
I mean, it's still a pretty good game, and there's a big community behind it that still patches and supports it and makes mods for it. So there's a lot of fixes for this game. Unfortunately, when Sniper and I were playing, the game crashed. We had both built up these huge armies, and just as we were marching them towards each other, the game crashed.
Mm.
So we'll never know who would have prevailed there.
That's what happens when you fuck with the ancient hard software, man.
Yeah. Now, it just reminds me of like those moments, like even with console or even if like your disk drive was, the lens was dirty, like dust on the lens. Remember when that was an issue
mm-hmm.
and it just fucked up your game and it was mm-hmm. just all external issues. Oof.
Yeah. You had to clean out your trackball mouse.
I do have a question.
Oh, I remember.
Though.
Oh, yeah, the dust. Oh, I did that all the time. Mm-hmm. And I took a lot of pride in, like, knowing how to, like, do it and to do it consistently because I was playing Counter-Strike with the trackball.
And the rollers.
Yeah.
Bobby, so there are some units that look like units that are in the prequel movies.
Mm-hmm. So this came out right after Phantom Menace.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It makes a lot more sense now.
And then I think they might have had some DLC or an expansion or something. Mm-hmm. They called it expansions back in the day, that added some of the other prequel movie stuff. But yeah, you can play all the races. You can play the Gungans. I don't know why you'd want to, but you can do it. But that actually also brings up my last point. This game, I don't think, is as complex as Age of Empires. Mm-hmm. Like the units are, every race kind of has the same unit, but they're called something very generic, just like heavy mounted trooper or something like that. And in Age of Empires, I felt like there was a little more diversity because you had all those different civilizations and each one had, they had one specific unit that nobody else could build. The French mm-hmm. had the knights, the Germans had the right. Teutonic soldiers.
There's not
soldiers.
Any of that here?
Yeah, the Turks had the Janissaries. There are some things that are gated. So if you play, you know, the Rebel Alliance, then maybe you don't have access to this in the skill tree or this particular unit. But yeah, there just wasn't as much diversity.
Jedi, Sith?
Like you can make Jedi. Yeah.
Okay.
You go running around with their little lightsabers. It looks pretty funny and that low resolution. But it's a good game. Like overall, it's a good game. And what's really cool about this is I found out about this cool software called Voobly. So, you know, when I played Rebellion last week with Sniper, we had to forward ports and figure all that stuff out. We did play another game, by the way, and it crashed again. So that's just a problem with these old games. But Voobly basically brings back the Microsoft, the MSN Gaming Zone. I don't know if anyone remembers that.
Nope.
This is really taking it back here. The MSN Gaming Zone was a website you could go to, and it would create, you could join these little rooms, and the rooms would, you could launch games from there. Rogue Spear.
I think I used to play, I think it was called Inklink on this one.
Inklink? Yeah, maybe.
Maybe that was Yahoo Games.
It might have been Yahoo Games.
But it was basically Pictionary.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. That's probably Yahoo Games. But this was like Yahoo Games. But I used to go here all the time to play Jedi Knight. And you could play, like, I remember Rogue Spear being very big on this. And a lot of those other games as well, those Tom Clancy games.
So they just have open lobbies for these games? That's pretty cool.
For these ones right here. So a lot of the old ones, they do have Rainbow Six, Rogue Spear, Age of Empires, Age of Mythology. They do have a Frozen Throne. But these are the popular ones. But they also had Star Wars Galactic Battlegrounds. So all I had to do was install the software, create an account, and then jump into a room and launch it from there. And it took care of all. I didn't have to worry about forwarding ports, connecting here or there. Yeah. And they also, here's the real big deal.
Is that all you had to do, dude? Fucking download third-party software.
It was a lot easier than doing it the old-fashioned way.
Create an account.
It was a lot easier than doing it the old-fashioned way, like trying to forward ports.
All you have to do for Call of Duty is fucking hit the download button, but you're not going to do it. You won't do it.
Yeah, I don't know. Call of Duty. I've played that before. But the most important thing here, though, is they have Microsoft Ants, which if you played on the MSN Gaming Zone, you know what Microsoft Ants was. And that's all I really need to say about that. A couple people out there know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was going to be my week. And then I found out that I didn't have any work. And then I binged another game, Mutant Year Zero. And I knew this game was like coming up. I was going to play it at some point in my life. Just never really quite had the time for it. Knew it was good. Got into it. Got really deep into it. Played a ton of it today and last night, probably 80% of the way through the game, 75. I don't know. I'm level 43. So I'm thinking I'm getting close to the end, but I don't even know what to say about this game. It's as good as I expected it to be. You know, it's tactical turn-based combat. It's actually got a better story than I had imagined. I'm usually not much of one for stories in RPG games. I don't know why. Other games, yes.
RPGs, the one drawing factor about RPGs, and you're not really big for it.
Well, that's why I never really played many RPGs.
Okay.
But it's post-apocalyptic. Like, the world has been
post-coronavirus.
Yeah. The world is in ruins from not only a zombie invasion, but also some sort of disease, the Red Plague, that has taken over. And somehow these mutants were born in the midst of all of it, and people have kind of degenerated. There's a lot of other stuff going on. But so you're walking around this world, and, you know, they walk like to a rundown school, and they're like kind of, you know, humorously talking about, oh, this used to be this kind of place or something. You know, they find a boom box and they're just like, oh, these were called boom boxes. Watch out. They're dangerous. They'll explode. You know, so they don't really know, like, and they refer to us, you know, the people of that time, as the ancients. So it's got some humor to it. And the RPG, like, I do like the whole post-apocalyptic thing, and the graphics look really solid on it. And the turn-based combat is actually a little simpler than some of the other games, like XCOM or Divinity especially. But they kind of boil it down to just the fun part, so it's enjoyable. It's pretty good. Like, it's a hit. The game's great. Like, so, I'm really enjoying it.
Glad you like it, man.
Getting into the story, do you mind explaining it a little bit more, especially with these characters here? Are these the characters you actually play?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are there humans?
There are some humans. Yeah. So, like, the leader of the good guys, I don't know, maybe the good guys as of now, maybe that'll change. But they live in this place called the Ark, which is just like humanity's last stand. And the leader of it is called the Elder, and he's a human. And he sends out these stalkers, which are these mutants that have special powers. And they run out and they scavenge and they get supplies and they bring it back. Yeah, yeah, that's you. Now, he sent out some of these stalkers, and one of them started going crazy and talking about this place called Eden, about how there's this like promised land, basically. And you got to go find him and bring him back, but then it turns into some other whole big thing. You uncover other things as well. The story expands, obviously. It's pretty well done.
So even though you like didn't expect there to be a good story, are you enjoying the story? Or are you just bypassing a lot of it?
No, I'm sticking through the story because a lot of it's told through dialogue, spoken dialogue as you're playing the game. Mm-hmm. It's not like something you have to really sit and wait for. I can't really say why I'm enjoying it so much. Like, I kind of just expected something a little more.
It's because it was made in this decade, and you're you know how like your only 2-5 stars were made this year.
Mm-hmm.
Games are like that too, dude.
No,
it's true. It's so true. New stuff is better.
No, not always.
No, not always.
Not always. No, I was expecting something just very bland.
There's
two dogs.
There's literally a dog like right outside.
It's just Zarko.
No, there's one down here.
No, he's jumping into the.
I swear, I heard another.
So the gardener is still here at 6:30 p.m.
So that's.
So my dog bit him yesterday and made him bleed, but he's still here. So we're dealing with nonstop barking. And
no, that's another dog, I swear.
I mean, there's a possibility.
Okay. Hmm. That's why he's barking so aggressively.
That's the door.
There's someone else on his turf.
Could be.
Yeah. Poor gardener. Hmm. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And we poured mezcal on the wound. That's a tequila.
You should have saved that for him to drink after all that drama.
I know.
Traumatized.
Yikes. All right. So, yeah.
He played Untitled Zero. Goose Game. He
great
failed.
Game.
Dude, I've always wanted to play this game, but...
Yeah. Time. Well, it was free on Epic Games a couple months ago, 2 months ago. That's when I picked it up. You missed it during then?
Yeah, I just didn't have the time. I always want to get into it. Oh, and also, Bobby, like, do you think this is going to spark the interest in XCOM 2? Because you never really played it.
I don't know if I could go back to XCOM.
Really?
Because I played the first one, and I got so addicted to it that I just did nothing. Like, all my free time was completely taken up by XCOM, and I think I got burnt out on that game. And when I finally finished, I was like, okay, I'm okay with putting that on a shelf.
Mm.
Yeah, but I did really want to play something with turn-based combat.
Yeah.
Like, I was really itching for that.
There was a time when me, you, and Chad said, I think it's our favorite form of combat in games.
Mm-hmm.
Turn-based is pretty fun. I don't know what to do about the dog. I don't know if you guys can hear it.
I'm sure they can.
Let him loose on the other dog. Pour some mezcal on it.
But so you didn't pick it up when it was free on Epic Games?
Oh, I did, yeah.
You did, okay. Yeah, did so, yeah, it's there. It's there. Yeah. You got it.
Yeah.
But I looked it up on How Long to Beat. It said 13 hours. I'm on 11 hours. I feel like I'm going through it slowly. This game's hard, though. I should say that. Like, this is not... I'm having a very hard time with this game. Like, I have to... There's a lot of stealth, and there's a lot of waiting to get an enemy on their own and using cooldowns to keep them kind of crowd controlled so they don't go run and get the rest of their guys.
Did you set it on hard, or that's normal?
Their difficulty settings were medium, hard, and like extra hard. And then there's like a nightmare setting where like, I think like a permadeath mode. Mm. So the middle one that it defaults to is hard. And I was like, well, okay. I mean, this is obviously what the game wants me to play. I'll play it on that.
Right.
But it's difficult, man. Like, I feel like I'm chewing through it. I'm earning every inch that I'm gaining in this game. Mm-hmm. All right.
Red Rum says the dog is quiet. Better check if he's down the gardener.
Jeez.
All right, let's talk about Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
So this is the newest Ori game. I played the first one all the way through. It is the first one was and still is one of the best Metroidvanias. And by far the prettiest. I mean, it's hard to outdo these graphics. Not just the graphics, but the overall design. The backgrounds, I feel, are like hand-drawn, or at least look hand-drawn. And then the foregrounds are so well animated that they look like they're hand-drawn. It's incredible, man. It's even better than the first. But... It's at the end of the day, it is just a platformer. Like, most of what you're doing is jumping. It's just jumping puzzles, and the combat is pretty simplistic. You're almost there just for a nice place to be. It's just like a nice place to go that's like a fantasy setting, and you just, I don't know, you don't have to think about other stuff for a little while. And that's where... It takes you away, man. It's really nice. It's like watching a Pixar movie or something like that. There are some difficult spots, but those spots are... There's a lot of like downtime where you're just traversing. Because in Metroidvanias, you're just going back and forth and going this way and that way. And there's a lot of backtracking. So, but it's not unenjoyable. It's actually more enjoyable a lot of times because the stress is taken out. But all the good parts are still there. There are perks that you can slide in and out of these perk slots that you have. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of these perks. So you can unlock the perks or the perk slots.
Is there nothing we could do about Jaka?
Huh?
Is there nothing we could do about Jaka right now?
I put him inside the house, but then everybody's inside the house. Oh, yeah. I don't know what to do. I need to get a new gardener is what I need to do. So, what was I saying? It gives you, like, more agency. Like, you feel like you have more control of how you play the game. Because these perks are, like, really big time. Like, one of them is, like, take 20% less damage. The other one is triple jump. Like, you have to choose between those two. Like, you know, these are really, really good perks. So... I find myself switching them out if I'm going to do a lot of combat versus like do a lot of jumping or whatever like that. And,
can you switch them out on the fly?
You can just pause it and switch it.
This game is so pretty.
It's so pretty.
I have no interest in playing any platformer games at all, but I wouldn't mind even just watching this. It's gorgeous. Does Ori look any different from a previous rendition?
Yeah, he's there's a little more detail. Now, when I compare them, it's all just due to like hazy memory to when I played this the first time. Mm-hmm. But there were times where I was like, oh, I didn't know he looked exactly like that. You know what I mean? Like, I know he had all the hair and stuff like that.
Yeah. So before I feel like he was more of a wisp, and now he's more...
More like an animal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah, and you're
it's
dealing...
It's cool that they transform the hero a little bit, you know? Even though there's, like, literally, it's not like he wears armor or uses weapons, so it's nice that they can give him more features, but not lose his the originality of what his character is. That's cool.
Yeah. And another thing that I really like is, even though there's not like English or a lot of words. I mean, it's transcribed from whatever language they're speaking, but it catches you right in the feels right away. It's just like the, man, whatever's going on the screen wraps you up in the emotion right away. Just like they, even though you're looking at these small characters, for some reason, it's really zoomed out all the time. But you can see the feels, like there's love between this person and that thing or that thing. And then this happens to them. It's just, it plays out like a cartoon, but I don't know. Right,
like
away,
a
I was like,
short.
Yeah, those are really, yeah, good. Exactly.
Do you
exactly
feel like the difficulty gets in the way of that, though? Because that was my concern when you were talking about the first Ori game, was that, yeah, it looks amazing and it's very sentimental. But like, I would probably get frustrated when I got stuck at parts because I want to see just the story flow. I don't know.
Just put them in the house, too. I was going to do it, but I was talking.
I'm going to drink.
Oh. Does the difficulty... Well, the game isn't that difficult this time. Like,
it's easier than the first
one. Yeah,
I've
been playing for 2 or 3 hours. And I haven't run into anything that's like what the fuck or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Actually, the only really hard part was optional. It was one like a time trial to unlock more in-game currency. So that was completely optional. I'm sure it's coming, but so far now, man, it's almost meditative. Mm-hmm. It's just so nice, you know?
Just a nice, relaxing game.
Yeah.
All right, so it's time for news, and you know what, I put this first news article up here, I don't know, like a week ago, or half a week ago. It was E3 has been canceled.
Yeah, now, it happened right after we recorded.
Yeah, but now it doesn't even feel like news, because everything's been canceled.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, no E3 this year. You know, it's Sony pulled out of E3 a couple years ago, I think, maybe less than that. I'm wondering if other big companies are going to, after this, do the same. But I don't know. Either way.
JP did a snake show, got canceled. I was going to go to a gun show on Sunday. That got canceled. The only thing that's big that I know is still trying to fucking do the damn thing is the UFC. The UFC is putting on UFCs with no audience.
That's got to be so weird,
it's, though. Yeah, for sure. But, you know, yeah, they're just trying to get it
they're
done.
They're trying.
Yeah.
So what people are doing is playing video games, though. This is like the perfect season for video games now. Needless to say, the Steam record was broken. Nearly 20 million people were using Steam today, shattering the record. This is from an article on IGN. And when they said today, I'm not sure when this article was dated, March 14th. So the last time this record was broken was not too long ago, and they said it was because a lot of people were quarantined in China. So, of course, U.S. gets quarantined. It's just going to be a bunch of people playing games, man. I mean, that's what I was doing. So, yeah, 20 million. The last record was 8.5 million. So, crushed it.
Yeah, that's huge.
It's insane.
But something like this would have to happen for that to work.
Yeah, exactly. All right, this bit of news requires some backstory. So,
you have to look them up. Did you believe me?
When you said it, I was like, what? I was very confused. Let's start from the beginning. Dude. Yeah. Let's start from the beginning.
Let's talk about the show, since we both shot it.
I'm going to start with the show, then I'm going to talk about Dry Bear. So the article that we want to bring up is Rory Newbro, a.k.a. Dry Bear, was on the hit Netflix show,
right.
Love is Blind, a reality show where people get into these pods. They can't see each other. They talk to each other. They form a relationship. And they date a bunch of people through that wall, and without seeing each other, then they propose to each other if they find someone they really connect with, and then they see him for the first time after they've proposed. So I watched this because a bunch of people at work were talking about it while I was writing up all my little movie reviews. I had this on in the background. I was kind of tuning in. I'm like, oh man, that Jessica chick's a mess. You know, anytime she's on, I'm watching.
She's such a mess.
When she gets drunk and like her witch face comes out, I'm like, yep, here we go.
Did you watch Love is Blind on Netflix?
I don't know what Love is Blind is.
What are you doing with your life,
G? I'm sorry.
It's a reality show Where you fall in love with people you can't see.
No, yeah. Not that one. Yeah. Don't tell me you did it.
Oh, we all did.
I've experienced Love is Blind like at least 3 or 4 times in the capacity of my own lifetime. So, yeah, no, it would just bring up really salty memories. So, no thanks.
Okay.
Never, well, ever. Don't do it, guys. Don't do it. Don't fall in love with someone you haven't actually met in the flesh. It could be very, very, what's the word?
Bad.
Catastrophic.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, this show says otherwise, but yeah. So I watched this and he is in this show. This particular person we're talking about, Rory Newbro, he was in it, but so many people made it past the first phase that they just said, hey, we don't have coverage. So we're going to have to send some people home.
So, is that what happened?
Mm-hmm, there were 2 couples that happened to, I guess, when they were going to go on the honeymoon to Mexico, they didn't have enough people in the film crew because they weren't expecting so many people to actually hook up. So,
oh man, even after hearing that, I feel like it was probably because maybe the conversation wasn't that good or something.
There's they probably cut the weakest.
Yeah.
But he is in the show. And when I saw him in the show, I'm like, something in my head sparked. I'm like, I kind of know that guy. He's got very big features.
Yeah, dude. He looks like a cartoon character.
He looks like a cartoon character. And the reason that we're talking about this particular person is because one of the big games for us back in the day was Smite. And this person, Drybear, was a huge community figure in Smite. He made YouTube videos. He streamed. He eventually got a job with Hi-Rez Studios. In fact, he was part of the team that was putting together Realm Royale back in 2018.
Yeah, and the other one.
Realm Royale and...
There was something... Paladins.
Paladins? Oh, yeah. He worked on Paladins, too. Okay.
Yeah, he's a brand... as his little subtitle. I was like, I think it's him.
His Chiron, his lower third...
Huh?
What about us?
No, I'm talking about like his on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
His
Yeah, they call that a lower third or a Chiron.
Oh,
when it says like your name and what you do.
Oh, okay. I know. Yeah. Anyway, it said brand leader or brand ambassador or something like
that. Yeah, something like this. Something very ambiguous. They all had very ambiguous titles. But we would be so excited when we ran into this guy in a game, like he was on our team. Or I remember one time I solo-mitted against him. Yeah, he was the guy, man.
Yeah.
He was a really good player. He wasn't like pro level, but he was really good. But yeah, like it was pretty exciting. And we all wanted to be him. Like he was just the coolest. Like the whole like, what's up, dude? That's straight from him. He began every YouTube video with like, what's up, guys?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it was crazy. I had no idea he was in this show. It blew my mind when he told me that. And then I remembered the very, literally like one shot in the entire show, very early on, he's talking to Barnett.
Yeah.
The guy who's like,
he's giving him advice.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's in that one shot, but he is in that show, and like you can read all about like what actually happened.
Okay, so what does this article say about him and the romance that spawned in the show?
I think they went on their own honeymoon, and then it didn't work out, but they're still really good friends, so the relationship isn't continuing.
He's 28 years old?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, there he is in his Twitch shirt.
What? I look 5 years younger than him. And I'm 3 years older than him.
Yeah.
Jeebus.
Yep. That's crazy, though. That's crazy. Yeah. That's such a weird cross of, like, two worlds for me. Like,
I texted Bobby. I was like, dude, he's in the show. And he's like, no. Well, is that in season 2? Because I just watched season 1 and he's not in the show.
Yeah. There is no season 2.
Yeah.
Like, I was so confused because sometimes when they're showing like promos for this show and like other shots, there's people in there that you don't recognize. And I'm like, I feel like there's part of the show that I have not seen. But you know what's really weird? So like reality shows and like a lot of those like TLC shows that my girlfriend watches, My 600-Pound Life and like those types of shows, like I get so sick of them because of the editing. I have like 90 Day Fiancé, another one. Like I have
the fact
real
that you know
problem.
All of these and I can't, I honestly just,
she watches a ton of them and I kind of get caught up in the mix sometimes. And I get hooked a little bit and I follow it, but like at a certain point I'm just like, no, I cannot be around when you watch this. And it's all because of the way they edit these shows. And Love is Blind is different because it's on Netflix. So they don't have the build up at the end, like where they go into commercial and then they do like a mini like preview of what's coming up next, super dramatic moment coming up next, you know, then they plug it every single commercial. And then when they come back from commercial, they have like the quick little recap. And then they do a bigger one at the beginning and end of the show. They repeat so much footage. But Love is Blind is a little bit better in that regard. They still do like the little tricks of the trade where like they hold on to the to a moment, like to build up the drama. They cut to like all the reaction shots. Like when they're about to say, I do, and it cuts to like every face of every single person in the room.
Yeah.
And then they mix up reaction shot. They'll take a reaction shot from like something completely different.
Right.
And they'll mix it in. Yeah. They get real creative with their L cuts and J cuts. Like as an editor, I'm just, I watch a lot of these reality shows and I'm just like, fuck you.
Yeah. But that's how money is made, dude.
It is. It totally works. Yeah. It totally works. But I have a huge issue with it, but I will say Love is Blind better than a lot of that.
Can you say it's a good show?
I mean, it's horrible people doing horrible, trashy stuff. So I mean, it's great.
Who's the hottest chick?
Probably the one that ended up with Barnett, but yeah, I would steer clear of that.
Oh, right. She was a fucking hot mess.
Yeah, dude.
What?
She was like, I want to get pregnant and watch Netflix.
I really like the black hair.
Actually, that's funny because
she was good.
Yeah.
She was cool.
Yeah. She was super cool.
The content creator. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like the guy that she was with that
he was cool.
Yeah.
They were like the dream couple.
Yeah. That
God
was,
damn
the,
it.
Oh my God.
Let's,
we're the
okay,
worst.
Okay. Let's move on. Basic bitches.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
What's next? I just had to go bamboozle Jocko. Like I went out
Gigi's
there.
She's very pretty, dude.
Okay, I went out there.
Gigi, whoa, dude. Like crazy. Some of the things that she said, like I would have been like
peace
done,
out.
Dude. Yeah. Like that conversation in the car, I'd been like later.
What happened?
Dude.
What'd she say?
She you gotta just, watch the show, Chi.
Whatever.
You gotta watch the show.
Oh my god.
It's so good.
I gotta worry about the own hot mess that is my life and then worry about the fucking reality messes.
That's why you watch these shows, to feel better about yourself.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Okay. Anyway, video games. Actually, before we get into listener questions, which we're about to start up here, we've got another voice message.
Did we talk about the 20 million on Steam?
Yeah.
Hey, DLG, this is Zap.
Oh my goodness. Stop.
To say,
no,
the
stop.
I...
All right. Sorry. I didn't know that was going to automatically play.
Okay. So, with the 20 million on Steam, I think Counter-Strike broke its first time over 1 million concurrent players, too, because of that.
Mm.
Yeah, which is awesome. It's really nice to hear that mm-hmm. a game.
I think it's going to go up.
Huh?
I think it's going to go up.
Oh, yeah.
The rumor is that California is going to go on whatever stay home duty tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Because of San Francisco?
Just
shelter in
mode?
Yeah.
Shelter in mode. That's 7 million people right there.
Yeah, I definitely think it's going to get a little higher there.
Yeah. The guy from Rogan is to be believed, he
Michael something.
Yeah, he said it's going to be getting worse through the next 3 to 6 months.
He basically says it's inevitable. There's really no amount of face masks and hand sanitizers to stop this thing because it's going to
proliferate.
Yeah, but then the thing is, it's a matter of not whether you can avoid getting it. It's a matter of when you're going to get it. I think it was kind of what he was emphasizing, right?
Damn, I don't
and
know.
Like, I really feel like all the, like, I don't know. It's like a lot of the major economic hits that we're taking, it's only going to potentially slow this down, not actually stop it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're doing all this for precautions, right?
But that's the thing, though. Okay, check out China's curve. There's so many people that are recovered.
They're already
from
like
coronavirus, and I feel like we're
celebrating.
I feel like we're freaking breaking everything, and then we're still gonna get fucking sick, and then we've already done so much damage, and then we're gonna have to kind of recover from all the damage that's already done. We'll see.
We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, more video games.
Yeah.
All right. So if you are a $10 patron supporter, then you can record an audio clip and we will play it on the show. So this one is from Zap.
Hey, DLG. This is Zap. I did want to say the reason I have decided to support the podcast is because you guys have developed such an awesome community that I love being a part of. And that awesome community should definitely take part in the Folding at Home team that I started to help fight against the coronavirus or COVID-19. If you guys are interested, there is some information posted in the announcements channel. And I know our awesome community can definitely do a lot of good in helping to fight this disease. Thanks.
All right. Another plug there for Folding at Home.
Yeah. Well, Zap had, he didn't say who, but somebody close to him. tested positive. So he is on, I think, voluntary whatever, like stay at home.
Quarantine?
Yeah, quarantine.
Or so isolation.
And he's waiting to find out if he has it. So it's hit really close to home for him. So he's the one who put together the announcement for the protein folding.
Yeah. Mm. I do know that there's cases in my hometown, and of course the cases are increasing in San Diego, but I don't know. Yeah. I feel like the conversation about coronavirus is not going to go away anytime soon.
No.
And then like the impact that it's made worldwide and on everyone's lives, it's who knows how this conversation will change.
So today at work, I didn't think they were ever going to shut down the, you know, because we're behind schedule and we're supposed to get this whole thing done by August. And construction workers don't work very close to each other. Like, it's a huge place.
Mm-hmm.
You can avoid each other pretty well. So mm-hmm. I'm like, there's no way. And then today we had a meeting. Well, we're not supposed to have meetings anymore. So we had a meeting in the outdoors where it's super windy. And they were like, it's not like we're not coming to work tomorrow, but things are changing hourly. So we need to prepare as if we're not going to come to work tomorrow. So we kind of like buttoned down the hatches. And that's why I was late for the podcast, because we had to just make sure, like, lock mm-hmm. everything up real tight and mm-hmm.
yeah.
make sure nothing's going to fly off the roofs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
I thought I was going to work tomorrow. I don't think I am. I definitely am not. I'm not working until I don't know when. So.
Hmm. You know, it's interesting. Dry Bear actually went to college at UCSD.
Oh, yeah?
You know that? No. Yeah, I did not know that.
I know that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. gee, it's funny because I'd be like...
Because that's where you're working at, right? You're up in the UCSD.
Yeah, UCSD. I was going to be like, gee, you could totally fucking sell salsa at the fucking farmer's market. They're all shut down, too.
Yeah, there's yeah. nothing
Everything shut yeah. down, man. It's weird. All right, let's get to some listener questions.
It's going to be Mutant Year Zero.
Yeah,
here,
dude. Maybe sure. as I'm playing this game, I'm just like, because they talk about
I hope I get the duck
the
bill.
Yeah. You know what? I was wondering while I was playing this game, why are ducks, anthropomorphic ducks, always depicted as ornery?
Like, yeah, all the time.
All the time.
Like
duck
Daffy?
Man.
Daffy put
Daffy,
in.
Daffy.
Yeah. I was pissed off.
Howard the Duck.
Because they sound like it. Because you hear their voice. It's like, meh.
Yeah, it's kind of an aggressive quack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think ducks are
Have
kind of aggressive.
Have you seen geese? Geese
oh,
are
yeah.
really
yeah.
fucking ornery.
Yeah, maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Just they're the worst.
Personifying what's already there.
They're the worst rapists in the animal
geese
kingdom.
Geese are?
No, ducks.
Ducks are. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, I believe that.
All right.
That was some duck boys.
All right. First listener question from Sniper. What was the first iteration of your gaming names?
I first went with Ender because of Ender's Game.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went with Logic because I saw somebody else using it, like with a K. I just saw somebody else using it. I was like, oh, that is so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I couldn't log into anything ever with either one of those. So then I created Ender's Logic, and then I can get it 95% of the time. When I log into something and it has Ender's Logic, and mm-hmm. I'm like, what the fuck? How is that possible?
Yeah. So with me, oddly enough, my very first gamer handle I can recollect, it was Counter-Strike 1.5. And I think I heard somebody go, you know, what you talking about, Willis? Like over just chat. I know it's from some movie.
It's a TV show, yeah.
Yeah, TV show. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to change my name to Willis May. And I was Willis May for many years. And then after Willis May, I became WASDAT, WASDDAT, like not even really a name.
Mm-hmm.
And then Smoochie now with the X, so I don't have that weird problem of handle competition. And then I actually prefer Chia LaBeouf over Smoochie. I like it when people call me Chia more than, because it's like, it's anything that might be some rendition of my name. So, so Smoochie is obviously me, but when I play video games, my name is always Chia or Chia LaBeouf.
Chia LaBeouf is what I know you as.
Yeah.
I don't know if I had any other iterations of my gaming name. I mean, just Digi, D-I-G-I, but that is often taken and a lot of times too
short.
That's
what I was going to say.
For a username.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like Robert Digital. It's not usually taken. It's not like super weird, too. Like, I wouldn't mind, like, I made my Letterbox account Robert Digital, and like, if other people outside of gaming were to follow me on that, it wouldn't be that weird. And it's also, it doesn't need to be explained, I think. Like, it's tough when, like, usernames have a lot of, like, numbers that are hard to remember or underscores or things. I don't know. It's just, like, a nice, simple, easy thing. Yeah.
I agree.
All right, next question from Prosaro. Are there any other good gaming-focused audiobooks that you guys can recommend? I've listened to Blood, Sweat, and Pixels by Jason Schreier, Michael Whitwer's Empire of Imagination, which is a D&D audiobook, and Stay a While and Listen by David L. Craddock. Now, I haven't... I've read Blood, Sweat, and Pixels. That's a fantastic book, by the way. Everyone should read that. Very current, too. Well, pretty current now. But
yeah, 30 years old.
Blood, Sweat, and Pixels.
Oh, my bad.
That's the one about like all the games that were, or like the development process. It talks about Stardew Valley guys, just like really in-depth looks, and Jason Schreier doing some amazing work. But I had never heard of Stay a While and Listen by David L. Craddock. I looked that one up, wishlisted it on Audible, so I'll get to that eventually. But that's kind of the story of Blizzard developing Diablo and I think Warcraft. And there's two books, in fact. He had a sequel to it. So that looked very interesting. I'll check that one out. I do listen to and read a lot of video game audiobooks. So I have two that I want to recommend. The first one being Significant Zero by Walt Williams. Kind of similar to Blood, Sweat, and Pixels. This guy was, he worked in the gaming industry since like the early 2000s in many different positions, mostly as a writer. He wrote Spec Ops The Line. He worked on the BioShock games. He also did the story for Battlefront 2, so he's got a lot of interesting stories to tell, some really good stuff in there. Really enjoyed that book. It's got a long title, Significant Zero, like Heroes and Villains, the Fight for Art and Soul in Video Games, or something to that effect. The other one, Masters of Doom. This is the story of John Carmack and John Romero, basically inventing PC gaming. You know, they invented Doom. John Carmack pretty much just built the engine, like built the engine that then everybody used to create their games. Like from that, I already knew that these guys were kind of important, but I didn't realize like literally everything was built off of their shoulders. Like Valve, like all those games, like everything was, just kind of came from that. But yeah, they made Doom, Wolfenstein, Quake, all those old games. But that was a really, really interesting book, Masters of Doom. And there's another one that I'll mention, but I wouldn't really recommend it.
What was the one that had to do with video game violence?
Oh, Assassination Generation. Yeah, by Colonel Dave Grossman, I believe.
And it was for or against? It was against video games, right?
Very against video games and media in general. He has a lot of books on that. And that one I kind of read, just, you know, I like to hear other people's side of the story. That one's a little hard to get to. It deals a lot with violence and violence against kids, school shootings, things like that. And after a while, after hours and hours of that, it's a little draining. I mean, you can give that one a shot if you want, but
it's not a recommendation.
Yeah, and neither is this other one I'll mention, Why Video Games Matter by Tom Bizzell.
Which is the other side of that coin, huh?
I don't know. I found that one to be a little out there, a little esoteric, like not really concrete enough.
Self-serving.
Like, I mean, it wasn't really that indulgent. He just kind of got really... It just wasn't grounded enough for me. Like, I just felt like he wasn't... Like, why do video games matter? Like, would you... Like, explain to me why they do matter.
Well, he tried. He failed?
He tried. I don't know. He was a video game journalist, and he kind of just, like, I don't know.
Why does entertainment matter? You know? That's what... I mean, entertainment is
That's the
huge.
Same thing, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, that one I can't really recommend, like, if you're hurting for something to read. And there's so many books out there now. I looked on Amazon the other day when I saw this question, and there's just a ridiculous amount of video game books out there. So I don't know if you should really waste your time, but I have heard this one mentioned like by a lot of other people from time to time, but like, it didn't really catch me.
Mm-hmm. This is not a book. It's a podcast, but it plays out like a story. I talked about it before, but the Adventure Zone from episode 1.5 all the way up through, they call it the arc of, I forget what the arc's called, but it's their first one. So at the very beginning, they're kind of like fumbling their way through D&D. It's a play podcast. It's three brothers and their dad, and it's all just like fun. And then it slowly develops into one of the greatest stories I've ever heard in my whole life. Like, that's how good it is. Like, I fucking came to tears towards the end of it. And then I checked with other people to make sure it was that good. And they're like, yeah, dude. But they also kind of captured lightning in the bottle. I've listened to their subsequent stuff afterwards, and it's not nearly as good, but I think it was just like his right place, right time. I still listen to their current stuff, but nothing's gonna touch that first thing. So Adventure Zone, start with 1.5. Incredible.
All right. Let's see. Warconius asks, what are two things on your bucket list before you die from a virus that makes you cough blood?
Bucket list before you die. Oh, gotcha. We're dying to die from the virus. Geez, I don't know. I'm old, man. I've done pretty much everything. I've had threesomes on ecstasy. It's fucking ridiculous. Like, it's better than having a child. That's how good it is.
Wow. I never really think about like, oh, I got to do this before I die. Like, I don't know.
I think I would like to get married before I die.
Okay.
You should.
I mean, for tax purposes, you really should. Otherwise, the government's going to take like 60% of your wealth. Yeah, I don't know. Most people are like, oh, I want to go to Italy, or I want to do this. I don't know. I would maybe visit some like historical sites like the pyramids in Egypt, or, you know, the Colosseum.
But maybe.
It's so funny. I know, just a little off story on that little tangent. I have a really close gamer friend that is single again and going back on Tinder, and he has a thing for Asian girls. And so he tells me his last experience with one. They went on three dates, and she gave him an ultimatum. We get married now and get to know each other
Jesus
later.
Christ. Was she otherwise trying to get into the country or something?
I don't know. And my response was, wow.
Is he on 90 Day Fiancé?
And I was like, wow, Nick, you better do it in before COVID. And also, she was probably farming for citizenship. Who knows? Who knows, to be honest. But yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
And like, not only is like the whole coronavirus thing making it hard for Asians in general, but freaking Asian girls on Tinder are like trying to, you know, farm their visas, I guess, or green
visa
cards.
Farming.
Oh, geez.
So get married for cheap, Bobby, maybe Coliseum, maybe.
I don't know. Probably. I mean, realistically, I haven't. Sometimes I think I've seen a lot of movies, but then sometimes there's like a movie that I just haven't seen. And I'm like, how have I not seen that? Like, how have I not seen the Bourne trilogy? Like, how have I not seen the first Weekend at Bernie's? Like, and I've seen the second one probably 17 times.
These are the things you think about, huh?
Yeah. Mm. Well, you know, I mean, it comes up, dude. Isn't there movies where you're just like, people like, oh, you know, like in this movie, and you're like, oh, I haven't seen that. And they're like,
yeah.
Kidding me?
True Romance, I've never seen.
Well, that's you every that's episode, Bobby.
Yeah, well, no, I don't usually do that, because I don't expect people to see a lot of movies that I watch. But
Natural
there
Born Killers? Is that another one? That's
Slumber Party Massacre, or whatever that was.
Yeah, it's three of those. I think you can watch the first two for free on Tubi.
Oh, Jesus.
All right. Warconius has another question here. Sources report Sony has two Silent Hill titles in development.
Oh, hell yeah. Hopefully it's VR.
It's not even a question.
Well, the question's here. Oh. I know you guys aren't big with Japanese games, but if this is true, wouldn't it be fucking brilliant? Question. What game IP would you want moved to another developer? For example, Fallout back to Obsidian.
Mm.
I don't have a specific developer in mind, but I would love to see other companies take a crack at Star Wars games. I feel like we had such a diversity in Star Wars games back in the day, and now it's just like once every couple of years we get some like super big budget, all the edges shaven off, you know, mm-hmm. like just kind of something for the masses. And the last one was pretty good, Fallen Order. I'd like to see ID or Machine Works or Machine Head or whoever does those like Wolfenstein games or the Doom games take a crack at a Star Wars game. Mm-hmm. That'd be cool.
EA has those smaller developers within itself, like that do Child of Light and yeah, like some other stuff. Yeah,
survive.
Yeah, it'd be nice to do one of some, you know, one of them to pick up since the IP is already owned from somebody else.
Mm-hmm. I want...
Like Visceral? That's a story from Blood, Sweat, and Pixels. Whatever happened to Star Wars 1313?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would take an amazing, like, smaller studio, maybe not so small anymore, like Larian, and have them inherit some of my favorite Lionhead games. For instance, Black and White. There's no conversation surrounding that game whatsoever that I'm aware of, unfortunately. And it was a beautiful game. And I would want it to have as much like TLC to make it something new and amazing. Or Fable 2, even in Larian's hands, because I like that's great RPG. That's great co-op. And that's what Larian Studios does well, even though they don't do action RPGs, but I can't imagine like how they would actually translate that title into something, because like the whole chicken chaser, you know, thing, like, yeah. You know, do you want some cheese or whatever it is? Like, I feel like that would be a really good like marriage between Lionhead and Larian Studios.
I would like to see anybody else take a crack at Street Fighter. Like, Capcom, I feel like she's just been fucking it up for years. Anybody good. Anybody, just please take
Who makes the best fighting games right now?
Right now, well,
Nintendo, Super Smash.
Yeah, but it's not the traditional fighting game. Whoever did Dragon Ball Z did a really good job with that. Namco? Was that Namco? I don't know who that was. Maybe a non-fighting game studio just takes a crack at it, you know? Like, it'd be crazy to see,
like,
you
know, when
Bethesda or somebody,
like Sega or Capcom made, or not Sega or Capcom, the company that made all those grand strategy games made Aliens. Like,
Insomniac?
No.
Why did that jump out at me? Insomniac. I don't know. I know what you're talking about.
So Dragon Ball FighterZ was made by, it was published by Bandai Namco, but okay. Arc System Works.
Who knows?
They've made some games. Oh, BlazBlue.
That was a good fighting game. I really like BlazBlue.
Oh, BlazBlue.
Well, I think it looks like BlazBlue.
There's no E, but it is Japanese, so who knows?
Yeah.
Okay.
Question from the Lotion. If you were a sleeper agent, what would your activation code be?
Oh, man.
Roguelike.
It couldn't be something you say all the time, though. See, that's the thing about an activation code. It would have to be something that would never get said around you.
Mm-hmm. Yours is definitely walrus, dude. It came up earlier today.
A walrus? Mm-hmm.
You were just like, I just need a word. You're like, walrus.
Mm-hmm. I have to do that all the time when I'm teaching, man. Like, if I need to show like examples of something or grab like a quick picture, so I'm pretty good at like pulling up benign Google image searches.
Mm-hmm. Coronavirus with Lime. I think I'd be set off all the time.
I think sleeper agent activation code. Oh, man, it would have to be something in Japanese, and then it just spawns like a Sailor Moon transformation for me.
Nanda.
You're right. Or it'd be like a Naruto, like freaking ninjutsu. It's like, I don't know what he does, but it's like a ninjutsu.
I don't know, but you, I think that wouldn't be too far-fetched. See, the idea of an activation code is that it's something that would never, ever be said around. Around you, so when somebody does say it, they can be sure that they activated it at the right time. Yeah. So it'd have to be. Did you guys watch that episode of Futurama? That whole thing with Bender?
Nope.
Okay.
Okay, so what?
What's something that you would never ever say?
Like brand new in synthesis.
Becoming vegan.
Becoming vegan. Okay, I think I'm going.
I'm going vegan.
I think I'm.
Going I'm going vegan, guys.
Yeah.
that's like the suit up call for Transformers. I'm going vegan, or it's like Super Saiyan vegan.
And then you go into your transformation and you're just right? covered in vegetables, like lettuce leaves are over your boobs. Tomato attack.
Not even. Oh, all man.
Right. Bobby's like, is, I it's like not the real
meat.
Game.
Oh, it's not real meat. That's a good activation statement from me. It's not real meat.
It's not real meat?
Yeah. I'm eating plant-based meat.
So Sniper's filling in the gaps here. Emilio is, I did not sleep with that woman. And Bobby's is, I like the AAA title game. Yep. Yeah. Those are things that we would never say.
Oh, I like AAA games. Going to be playing some Doom soon. Going to be playing some Doom. When is that? March 23rd? That game is going to just kill it, dude, because everybody's going to be playing video games.
Oh, dude.
Doom Eternal?
The lead developer on that went on Rogan. And
I heard it did not go well.
It was literally the worst Rogan I've ever heard, man.
Why?
First of all, it sounded like they were trying to do commercial. Rogan's like completely out of the loop as far as video games go. He was asking all the wrong questions, saying all the wrong things. The other guy was trying to do damage control, and it was terrible.
By the other guy, you mean the person he was interviewing?
Yeah.
The developer?
Yeah.
Because he does a one-on-one. There's usually not like another person in the room.
Yeah. He's like, this game's going to be an incredible waste of time. It's so good. It's going to be a complete waste of time. And the guy's like, well, you know, like, he's trying to sell the thing, you know, and just fucking, I made it like 5 minutes. I was like, this is fucking going
to
go.
Yeah.
Bad.
I listened to a bit of it. And I mean, I don't really like Joe Rogan in the first place. I mean, not him as a person, but his podcast.
Yeah.
Loved him on News Radio. His stand up, he's got kind of that like angry Lewis Black, why is everything so weird, like angry old man kind of thing going on. The whole like tough guy New York comic. I never really liked that.
Did you see Mark Maron? Really, Lewis stand up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched it the other day.
Those are
actually
like my favorite type of comics.
I love Mark Maron. He's my favorite comic. Him and probably Bill Burr, but like Lewis Black is just like, oh God, dude, really? I don't know.
Cantankerous. It's very cantankerous.
Yeah, you know, he's the original old guy yelling at Cloud. Mm-hmm. Like, that's Lewis Black. But I don't know. I find Rogan on his podcast is always very antagonistic towards the guest. He's always trying to, like, poke holes in whatever it is. And it just comes off like kind of, it makes me uncomfortable listening to it. I'm just kind of like, I feel like a little kid listening to his parents argue, kind of. Like, you know how they do that kind of passive-aggressive arguing where they're super pissed at each other, but they don't want to do it in front of the kids. So it's like, that's kind of what I feel like the conversation is every time I listen to it.
As somebody who's listened since episode one, that definitely happens. But it's definitely the exception, like I would say.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
maybe it's just
sure.
the ones that I tune
but
into.
But yeah, dude, it's happened where like I'm like, I can't even get through this. I don't know, he has, you know, mood swings.
Yeah, but that's unfortunate, though. I mean, yeah, I heard it didn't go too well, which sucks. But regardless, I think this game's going to be a huge hit. And, like, no one's got anything else to do other than play games right now, and everyone's been looking forward to this forever. Like, and it just landed at the right time. Like, it's funny how movies are saying, like, oh, no, we're going to postpone the release 6 months. I feel like games, if they could, I know they can't really, but if they could, they should push up their release. Like, now's the perfect time to release a game. This is just
some games just fucking there's like a few of them, like the one where you protect against the zombie hordes that come in towards your base.
They are billions.
Not that it's a bad game, but it also landed when there was just like no games coming out, and it just fucking blew up. The other one, dude, we're playing 2-on-2 or 3-on-3 combat, top down. Bobby, do you remember that one?
Wait, which one?
2-on-2 or 3-on-3 combat, and it was kind of like a fighting game, like a MOBA without creeps, came out. Do you remember $20?
Yeah.
With the weird ball?
Yeah, I don't know. Huh?
Mm-hmm. With the ball?
No, there was no ball.
It was like a huge hit for a minute.
It was a huge hit for a minute.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know what else is a huge hit? Insidious. My hot sauce.
Yes.
Yes. If you go to insidious.com, that's with insidious with a seed in it, because it's a seed and oil-based hot sauce. It is super fucking delicious. I only started selling it because I am addicted to it. If you go to dlg.com, click on the link. You can, it automatically applies the promo code for 10% off your purchase. And let me know what you think once you buy it, because most of my sales have gone through people here. And they most people are return customers. If you like the hot shit.
All right. What's everybody playing next week?
Well, geez, I got to ask you guys, what's your laundry list?
I'm definitely going to finish Mutant Year Zero. After that, I don't know. Like, I already, even though today is like the first day that I haven't gotten to work, like the ennui is already set in. Like, I just feel so lethargic now. So I don't know. I'm going to need like a big RPG, maybe Octopath Traveler, maybe.
Why not just keep your schedule, Bobby?
What schedule? Like you my know, work schedule?
Yeah, your work schedule. Like, wake up early, do all that, go to sleep at the same time. Just force yourself to do that. I feel like
you'll go on some hikes.
I'm just like,
if you find yourself with like open free time, like I feel like some good open fresh air would be good for all of us. I really do want to try to organize some type of game night and or Twitch schedule, and hopefully go back to work as soon as I am able, or just find new work in general. But I do anticipate like taking the opportunity of. Being unemployed to just fucking play video
games. The Keep Chi Alive stream.
Basically, guys, yeah. I might do a charity stream, you know?
Now is the time to stream. So many people are streaming right now. So many people are watching streams.
Yeah.
If I could find a good game to play, then I would stream.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really know like
just
what a good
try
game
out some
is
Warzone
stream.
With me. I'm always looking for a third to
I'm
play
terrible
with.
Terrible at that game.
At what game?
So bad.
Warzone.
Call of Duty Warzone. Yeah.
For me, I just bought Round Guard. It's doing okay. We covered it a couple weeks ago, or maybe a week ago.
Oh, yeah.
It's Diablo basically, Peggle. Yeah, it makes a beat between Peggle and Diablo.
Nice.
Like, what the fuck? That sounds so amazing. So I believe that stats are going to be going into, like, your bounciness and how much damage you do. I hope that it is everything that
I like
it
Peggle
is
because it's... It's basically skill-based pinball, which is what I like
about
it.
Yeah. And so this is that plus loot. It's
nice.
Fucking awesome.
Nice.
So it's like 83 right now on Steam, which I feel like some people buy it not knowing any idea what Peggle was, you know? So I'm hoping I'm really going to like it. So it's sitting right on my computer right now, but I had no extra time today.
Hmm. And we're going to be recording. We should mention we're going to be recording Mondays now. 6 o'clock. Should we do 6?
My schedule is completely open now.
Yeah, now she's not working. So,
okay. So are we going back to Sundays now?
I don't know. It's up to you because we all have the time. Well, you and I have all the time in the world right now.
We'll have to
work be announced.
That out later,
to be honest.
Yeah.
You want to record twice a week? Why not? As long as I can carpool with you. All right.
Well, speaking for Bobby, Chi, and myself, Corona Titties. Bye-bye.
Be healthy, y'all. Be safe.